So, welcome to this very first podcast. I am Lea from Brückenstein Gerlewe. And today I'm going to talk to Stephanie Thompson, who's Program and Communications Coordinator at the Federation of British Columbian Youth in Care Networks. I hope I got that right.
You did, and nailed it. A lot of people don't, so...
Maybe before I introduce you or the FED, I'm just giving a little bit of background on the topic. We at Brückensteine Kerliwe, we were set up a year ago, but from the very beginning, we always took an international perspective on the topic of care leaving, leaving care, what we work on. Mm-hmm. Because, I find it very interesting. On the one hand, it's a very local topic. So for the people, young people in care, it very much, their personal situation very much depends on their local surrounding, on the person who is responsible in their group homes or on the standards they live in, on the youth welfare office in their municipality. But at the same time, whenever I talk to people from other countries, I realize we have very much in common when we look at the situations and challenges care leavers face on a global scale. So it's not just local, it's global, and it's both. And that's why I always find it super interesting to speak with someone who is working on the same topic, but in another country or region. And I met your colleagues, Lorena and Jesse, a few months ago. And that was a very enlightening for me to talk to them, because you have been around for so many years. So the idea for today is just to learn more about your amazing work and share it with more people over here in Germany.
How long have you been working in the care community?
1.5 years. So we are really young compared to you, organization-wise. And the FED was set up in 1993, which is a while ago. And maybe you can just tell us what you do, why you do it.
So at the FED, we are a youth-driven provincial nonprofit. And our mission is to improve the lives of young people in and from government care in the province of British Columbia. We work with youth between the ages of 14 and 24. So while they're in care, and youth who are also out of care already as well. And at the FED, when we talk about government care, we mean foster care, but we also mean any young person who's accessed services from the Ministry of Children and Families between the ages of 0 and 19. So it includes group homes, mental health services, addictions facilities, custody centers. We also work with young people who have experienced homelessness. Throughout the year, we provide bursaries for education and skills development. We host youth retreats. We support youth with training and volunteer opportunities. And we distribute resources and information. And in response to COVID as well, since we haven't been able to host our youth retreats, we have created a program called Fed Connects, and it's a virtual space where youth can come together. And we hold events like skill building workshops, cultural teachings. We have a weekly drop-in chat. So it's really just a place for them to come together and be together, like share space together, but in a virtual way.
It's always, to see how organizations reacted often very quickly to this whole COVID situation. I find that very interesting. Maybe I give you a brief introduction of Brückensteine Kerliwe as well. Maybe I start with a name, because Brückensteine, if you translate it to English, it's bridge stones. Have you heard the term Kerliwe before?
I haven't, no. Not since we started connecting with you folks.
I find that really interesting, because in Germany, few people have heard the term Kerliwe. And then it was introduced, I think, coming more from an academic background, but also it was chosen by care leavers as a term to give themselves a name. But I think it is maybe just European. But anyway, so the group we're working with is pretty similar to the age group you work with, which is, you said 14 to 24, right? And we in our definition, you kind of become a care leaver from the age of 16 when you're still in care, and then until, I don't know, 27, 30, whenever you, in a way, even after that, you still can still be a care leaver, obviously, if you want to, but then it's a different phase in your life, probably. And yeah, Brückensteine Care Leaver is a collective impact initiative. So we are we're like a network of different projects and partners, but we work really, really closely together and are united by our shared vision, which is pretty similar to yours, I'd say, which is to achieve better transitions for young people from care into an independent, self-determined, fulfilling life, and also have a society that acknowledges and welcomes youth from care and is aware of their situation. And so we have a whole range of local or regional projects. So, for instance, we have the House of Dreams in Dresden, which is like a youth center. Maybe it's a little bit also like the FED, so a place for care leavers to meet and to, it's very youth led also, to organize their own programs and decide what they want to do with the space and with the time. These are mostly local or regional projects, but then we also have some projects which are more specialized. So there's, for instance, one that works especially with youth from foster families, or another one that is supporting care leavers to participate in international exchange programs, volunteering opportunities, get international experience. And my job is to coordinate all this. So we have the local partners, it's different organizations. I'm trying to bring the partners together, make sure we learn from each other, we share our experience, and that we don't duplicate too much. And yeah, especially also have some overarching projects like awareness raising, communications, in which we work closely together. And then we also have some own projects. For instance, we're working on a digital platform, which sounds a little bit like FED Connect. So from your introduction and from what I've heard about you, you really take this strength-based approach very seriously. And I think you've done that more or less from the beginning. So 27 years ago when you were set up. And I guess right now it's kind of established that that's a good idea to do that, but what was it like at the beginning, or has that changed the look, perspective on this approach you're taking in Canada over the time?
So we were started in 1993, so quite a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And at the time, there weren't really like supports for youth after they left care. And so at 19, like, we had all these young people who were out on their own, like often without skills and supports that they needed to live independently. Like they didn't, like lack of life skills was a huge problem. And like oftentimes without the safety net of a family or people that they could provide support if they needed it. And so we were started by, I think we've been strengths-based the entire time because it's been young people driving this initiative mm-hmm. the entire time. And it's been their strength and their vision. So it's been actually quite easy, I think, to stay I think we have been strengths-based the entire time. I think in more recent years with the developing language around being strengths-based, we've been a lot more like explicit about it, but it's been there the entire time because of the strength of the young people who started it. And they got together and they said, like, how do we make this situation better for other youth? And they got together and created the FED to try and address some of those unique barriers that young people from care experience. And we were one of the first non-government organizations that existed specifically to support young people in front care. So some of the specific barriers that young people leaving care experience, and this situation has improved in recent years, but it's still not totally perfect. Obviously, there's always work to be done. Budgeting, cooking, or driving. Mm-hmm. Accessing mental health services is really challenging. Accessing post-secondary education is really challenging. Basic housing is difficult. Access to just like getting household goods to set up a home for the first time. Accessibility barriers. So a lot of our some young people with care experience also have disabilities, and so there's a lot of so those folks really often face challenges navigating and accessing services. So
yeah, as I said, I think we could copy it this list, and
it's
literally the same problems or challenges we see over here. Do you think, is there something that is very specific to the British Columbia or Canada context?
I would probably say that there is a really significant overrepresentation of Indigenous young people in care. And so I think that is probably not something that Germany would potentially have experience with necessarily. So is there is a legacy of colonization, the legacy of residential schools in Canada that has definitely impacts the number of Indigenous young people in care. But recently there has been more of a push within the government to mandate that, or and try to actively make sure that Indigenous children, when they're taken into care, are able to stay in their communities and able to stay within their cultures. Sometimes that's not possible, but like in more recent years, there's been more focus about that.
There's one thing I haven't found in another country, which is maybe specific to Germany. I think we translated with cost raising. I'm not sure if that's understandable, but that's basically if you are in care and you have an own income, for instance, from, I don't know, a student job or from a training, on the job training, you have to give up to 75% to the youth welfare, to your local youth welfare office, so to cover the costs you are causing, basically. And that
what?
Is and yeah, no one believes that, and it's totally shocking on every level, I think. But and your reaction indicates you don't have that in Canada.
No. Up until they turn 19, they're minors, and so the government is like legal, like the Ministry of Children and Families is their legal guardian, basically, and so they take on all of the costs associated with caring for that young person. And then, yeah, after they turn 19, then they may or may not also be eligible for like further government or further support from the ministry as an adult. So, no, that that doesn't happen.
And is it difficult to get this further support after turning 19?
It depends. So like these supports are relatively new things. Young people and their allies in the care community have done, like it all comes down to the advocacy work by young people themselves. And so the government has created programs like the one that I mentioned, which is called the Agreements with Young Adults Program. So it provides financial support to youth up to age 27 who are either going to post-secondary education or maybe accessing a life skills program, or they might be in treatment for something. But the eligibility is they have to have been in care for at least 1 year, I think.
Okay.
Eligibility is not universal, and that's something that some youth advocacy groups are pushing for right now. The government's also come out with a provincial tuition waiver program in 2017. And so that's for waives tuition for post-secondary education, so college, university, trades. And so far it's covered tuition for around like 1,200 youth since it started in 2017. So that's pretty cool. And mental health services have become, like they've done some good work in making more accessible and affordable mental health services for youth as well. So there's like, there's always more that can be done, but
but at least it sounds as if there's some dynamic and something is happening. It's not like, it's not as it was in 1993, obviously. So your work seems
there's results. Been, like,
is there one key takeaway from your work, from your experience, where you say would say that's, something you should always focus on in this work?
I think two things. First of all, that I think that what's super important is, or one of the things that youth have told us that makes their experience with the Fed special is that it feels like a family. Mm-hmm. And they've told us that they need to feel genuine connections and like build relationships with their support people to really feel like they are actually supported. And so it's really important for staff to build those like genuine relationships with youth, but it's like just as important for youth to be able to connect with each other. And the experience of being in care, as I think we are learning, is that it's quite unique, and it's kind of the same everywhere. And like every young person's experience in care is different, but I think there's this like a common sort of understanding and shared experience that like all young people with experience in care have.
Yeah.
And so for us, it was always been from the beginning, one of the main goals of the Fed was to create space for youth to come together and to be able to support each other in those shared experiences, because they don't necessarily always have people in their day-to-day lives who understand what that means. And so, yeah, just be able to build a community and to build a family. I think that's probably one of the biggest things that we, that's one of our biggest goals of our work, and one of the things that has been a huge part of our success. And I think most importantly, the young people themselves. Like, we were created by youth. We are currently driven by young people. And so all of our work has come from their input, whether that's feedback or ideas, whether they volunteer their time, whether they take on staff positions or join the board of directors. It all, any changes and improvements for youth, both at the Fed and in BC, have been started with young people advocating for themselves and for the youth who would come after them. So I get emotional when I talk about it.
Yeah. I totally understand that. I even get emotional, and it's not my work, but it's just, yeah.
They're such an incredible group of young people. It's such a privilege to be working with them.
I absolutely agree. And that was also, I entered this field only 1.5 years ago, but that was something that became clear very, very quickly. Yeah. I was like, wow.
Me too. I only joined the field, I think two and a half years ago.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Stephanie.
It was
great
so much
to speak with you. Do you have any further questions to ask?
Just that I was really, really grateful to chat with you, and it's really great to see that so many different organizations and initiatives are coming together, and that you're pulling them all together, because I think that holistic approach is really, really important. And I don't think we have enough of it in Canada, so.
Thank you.